This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, third chapter, text 21. Yajyadacharati shreshtas tattadevetarojanaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate. Slowly. That's okay, do it slowly. You're doing all right. Just go slowly. Yat yat. Whatever. Acharati. He does. Shreshtaha. A respectable leader. Tat.
That.
Tat. And that alone. Eva, certainly. Itaraha, common. Janaha, person. Saha, he. Yat,
whichever.
Pramanam, example. Kurute,
does perform.
Lokaha,
all the world.
Tat,
that.
Anuvartate follows in the footsteps. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Sanghita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father, and the school teacher are all considered natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tattadevetarojanaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Krishna, Lord Krishna has given the... He's trying to get Arjuna to fight. Arjuna is trying to escape from his prescribed duty. And Krishna is telling him, no, you have to do it. In the previous verse, he gave the example that kings such as Janak Maharaj attained perfection, kamanaiva hi samsiddhim, simply by performing prescribed duties. So you also should do it to set the example for the people in general. Now he gives the general principle, yad yad acharati sheshtas tattadevetaro janaha. Whatever the leaders do, followers will, ordinary people will naturally follow. The common experience in human society. Not everyone is a leader. Someone will be the leader and others will follow the example. Not everyone has to lead. Not everyone is equipped or interested or powerful. Actually, there are some people who are powerful by the grace of nature. They are natural leaders. People will look to them and say, what should we do? You're natural leaders. You put 20 people in a room, there'll be one or two, three leaders, and the other will all be followers. They'll all look to the leaders. So Shreshta means the best. The best men in human society. And Acharati means what they do. So what should they do? The best people have to, if the best people are doing the worst things, then the society is doomed. Society is doomed. The best people have to set the example. The leaders have to set the example. And here Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that the example that they set should be according to Shastra. Later in the Bhagavad Gita we find Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vivastito Gyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartani Harati. That one should know what to do and what not to do by seeing the example of the Shastras, or the statements, the injunctions of the Shastra. Just as, in general, one knows what to do and what not to do by the law, the state law or the federal law. You have to drive this way, you can't drive that way. Not that I can make up, well, you know, I kind of like the right today, I think I'll drive on the right. Or, I think I like the left, I think I'll drive on the left. Or, everybody drives when the green light is there, but I kind of think it's nice to drive when the red light is there. No. We can't make up our own laws. The law books are giving the laws. Similarly, in spiritual matters, the Shastra is the source of authority. Sayat Pramanam Kurute. But one has to follow the Shastra Pramanam. Ya shastra vidamutrija vartate kama karata nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukkam naparam gitim. Krishna says that a person who gives up the direction of shastra and simply acts kama karata as he likes, nasa siddhim avapnoti, he doesn't attain perfection. Nasukkam, he doesn't even become happy. Naparam gitim, and what to speak of attaining the supreme destination, going back to Godhead. Therefore, one has to follow the Shastra. Karma Kartani Harnasi. And the Srila Rupa Goswami also tells us, quoting from maybe Narad Pancharatra, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidindana Vaikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kolpate. Even once we enter the realm of devotional service, how to execute devotional service, we should learn from the Shastra. Shruti, the Vedas, Smriti, Puranas, and so on. Shruti, Smriti, Manusmriti, Puranas, Pancharatra, Narad Pancharatra. Without following the rules of these scriptures, Aikantikir Harir Bhaktir Utpataya Vakalpate, the performance of devotional service simply becomes misleading. It becomes a disturbance to others. So it's not, so they say bhakti is for people of the heart. That's the stereotype, the cliche. But it's not that whatever my heart tells me, that's what I do. I have to follow the directions of the Shastra. It's a science. I have to follow the direction of the Shastra. And from that I have to see what to do. It's not such a whimsical thing as I like, however you feel, whatever you know. We have to follow the directions of Bhagavan. Dharmam hishakshat bhagavat pranitam. So here we're getting Krishna's directions, and he says very clearly that the leading men particularly have to see to this. So the parents are leaders for the children, or they are leading members of society. Professor is a leader, doctor is a leader. There are so many leaders in society. So it's up to them to set the example. people look and see, oh, what is he doing? And they, you know, if he's doing it, there must be something to it. So it's a good opportunity, this Krishna consciousness movement has spreading all over the world now, here in Kuwait since some time. So we should, as leading men, take it very seriously and spread it to others, especially other leading members of the society. Because if you get the leaders, you'll get the followers also. So leading, or anyone, whoever we meet, we can ask him, please chant Hare Krishna, please read these books, please take the Krishna consciousness. But especially the leaders are very important. We should try to reach the leading members of human society with this message of Krishna consciousness. Emperor Ashok took to Buddhism, then the whole Buddhism spread like anything. Until he took to it, it was a small thing, some monks. And when Emperor Ashok took it, it went everywhere. Similarly, in Christianity, when Constantine, the emperor, took to it, then it became a very powerful force spreading everywhere. So this happens when leaders take the Krishna consciousness. So we should try to approach the leading men, scientists, therefore probably established Bhaktivedanta Institute, to approach the scientists, they're now leading men in society, or any leaders we should try to approach and ask them, please give your attention to the science of Krishna, please try to understand Krishna consciousness, and please take it seriously for your welfare and for the welfare of others. A very important thing. Okay. Some questions, maybe?
No. The prescribed duties, what actually the prescribed duty means, for example, Dr. Devadar is there, so I give her very sincerely the hospital work. So is it that his prescribed duty or something else?
Yeah, it's mentioned that in Bhagavad Gita as it is, that prescribed duties has two divisions. There's materially the prescribed duties are according to our occupation or according to the qualities of material nature. But spiritually our prescribed duties are the duties to surrender to Krishna and engage in the service of Krishna. Where is that purport? Let me think about where it is. I don't think this has the right index where I'm going to find it.
When Prabhupada writes in this prescribed duty, what
does he mean? It actually means dharma.
Yeah,
this is no, not enough. Not enough. Simply doing the hospital work, that's enough as far as the hospital is concerned, as far as the patients are concerned. That's a saying, but that's nonsense. Otherwise, if work is worship, then the ass is the first class pujari. Right? The ass is working very hard, so he must be a paka pujari. He's worshiping like anything. What do you think? Work is worship. He's working more than we are, so he must be very pious.
Doctor work is too much responsibility for me.
Huh?
I mean, if he ignores.
Any carelessness on the doctor's part will lead to a severe damage.
That's understood. The doctor has to be very careful. No, that's understood. Materially, there are some duties. They say, these are your hours, these are the procedures that you have to follow, these are the records that you have to keep, these are the protocols. So that's also that's prescribed to you. You can't say, no, I think I'm coming in a different time. No, I think I'm not going to do it this way. I'm going to do it some other way. Don't worry about the records. Yeah, you have to do it according to the hospital standard.
Yeah.
So that's prescribed duty materially. There's also spiritual prescribed duties.
Open. But praying to the Supreme Lord. There's only one black time. Even that needs to be followed.
Yeah, because suppose even in the Bhagavatam it said, you have that first canto of Bhagavatam? Yeah.
So is it that the material duties are spiritual
duties? That's material duties. The material duties also have to be performed. Not only. Let me find this verse first. This dharma word is very rich. You know, it's not a small word. You can write books and books. What is dharma? So from on one level, dharma means varnashram dharma. Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. That's material dharma. But finally, my ultimate dharma means that quality which is my permanent, that occupation which is my permanent engagement. Sanatana dharma. That business which is eternal. Here we come. This is Narada instructing Vyas. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer Bhajanapak vota pate tato yudi yatra kvava bhadram abhudamushyakim ko varta apto abhajatam sudharmata. He says that one who is forsaken, given up his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there's no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Ko varta apto abhajatam sudharmata. Simply he's performing, that's also there and elsewhere in Bhagavatam, first canto. Dharma svanustita pumsam visvaksena katasuyat notpara yejadiratim shrame vihikevalam. Dharma Svanushtita Pumsan. A human being may very carefully follow his dharma. But Vishvakshena Katasya Notpadiyadivakin. If he doesn't develop an attraction for hearing about the personality of Godhead, Shrameva he capable. Everything he's doing is a waste of time. Because he's missing the point. Just like suppose driving. Driving means stay on the right, stop at the red, go on the green. But if I don't get to the destination, then what is the use? Or if I never turn the ignition, then what's the use? Finally, there's a purpose to the whole thing. Not just I follow this rule, I follow that rule. But there's a purpose. There's a goal I have to reach. So the goal is Vishnu. Nate vidu svartakati hi Vishnu. The goal of all work is to reach the personality of Godhead. Simply if I execute my material duties, just suppose like my duties, routine work, I have to eat, I have to sleep, I have to clean. Now, suppose if I come to a city and I say, all right, now I have to eat. And I eat very nicely. And now I have to sleep. And I sleep just properly. Now I have to clean. I clean everything nicely. But I don't do the business for which I came. Then I wasted my time. Only I ate a little bit. I slept a little bit. I have some purpose that I have to achieve. If I don't do that, it's all a failure. grand failure. So the human form of life is meant for Brahma Jigyasa, spiritual inquiry, spiritual development. If we don't do that, we're just working, because work is worship, then Swavid Varahostra Karai. Then we're like the animals. They're also working. What is the need of worship? They just work. The ass doesn't do any puja. The camel doesn't read Srimad Bhagavatam. They just work. So if we just work, how are we better than the camel or the ass? And some simply we heard that work is worship. So I don't need to do any worship, I'll just work. The ass is also working. The materialist is also working. So the philosophy is, if I just become a pukka materialist, then I make spiritual progress. No. I just become a pukka materialist, that's all. Worship is worship. And Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, work is worship? No. This is the problem. People are saying they get a slogan from some, but it's not from Shastra. It's just a good slogan.
Somebody writes it, others follow it.
Yeah, somebody came up with what sounds like a good slogan, and the government, they like it because they want everyone to work hard. Who's that?
Work is worship. To consider that way, take the case of Devadatta Prabhu. He is working in a hospital. He is sincerely. But if the hospital stops giving salary, will he still work or not? So the hospital stops giving salary to Devadatta Prabhu. What he will do? What happened to the worship then?
From your side, you have to be.
What I mean to say is that we are all working for salary. If I get a better salary some other place, I jump to that place. Yes. What happened to the previous place? So it's not work is worship. Salary is worship here. Basically, that's what.
He's worshiping. Work is worship, but he's worshiping the cash.
Cash we are worshiping. Not that one.
I should go and treat some people without taking money and those that needy people.
That even that is not worship. That's philanthropy. To give free seva, that's philanthropy. Still, that's not worship.
So, work is worship. And then if you work very hard, your boss will be pleased. You will get promotion, you will get more money, you will be encouraged to do more work, and you will get more, again, encouragement. So you get into that chakra of loop, always. You cannot come out of it.
This is a bad slogan.
It doesn't mean that you should not do that. If you have more higher objective, this is the best to do. If you have higher objective, you have to catch the higher objective, like catch the higher salary place. So, if somebody has no higher objective and he is not doing his duty, material duty also properly, that is very bad. If he has no higher objective, then this is the best thing for him, that he should be sincere for his boss. Do the job. If he is not sincere to his boss, he is worst situation. I have to teach in the university for which I am getting salary. But if I don't teach and still get the salary, I feel guilty of myself that I am doing something wrong. But that is not the ultimate. I get the salary, like I live in a better house, or I give some charge to some places and get some punya. And to again enjoy that punya, I have to come back to the material world again. That doesn't take us away from the
future. Maharaj, you're doing free service, that's also not
worship. It's also not worship. Worship is different thing. That's philanthropy. They've invented another nonsense slogan, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva.
Jana Seva is Janardana Seva.
But this is not the statement of Shastra. Krishna never says, you just do manava seva. Mamekam sharanam braja. Manmana bhava madbhakta. You worship me.
If I leave all the work and keep just worshipping
the
Lord.
Yeah. They've made this is actually an atheistic propaganda. That why are you worshipping God? Worship your fellow man. Huh? Actually, human life means to develop my relationship with God. But they're discouraging. Why are you worshipping God? Worship the man in the street. Do some seva. It's nonsense. Not actually the real business.
All the jana and the manavas, there will be a paramatma inside. Will not be worshipping
him. No. Anyway, even if you think that worshipping, that saving, serving the people is worshipping the Lord because paramatma is there, but then what is the service? I give some food, I give some medical care. That's not the real service. You save the person from birth and death, then it's service.
So you save him from the rebirth.
Ah, then you're serving. And Paramatma also becomes pleased.
So that means
Paramatma doesn't want to see that so this person is happy in the material world.
Serving only the body.
Yeah. If we're simply rendering physical service, that's not service to the Paramatma, and it's not actually service to the Jivatma either. Little service, but the real service is, otherwise, you know, you fix his arm and he breaks his leg. You fix his leg and he develops diabetes. You cure his diabetes, he gets run over by a truck. What are we accomplishing here?
So you have to serve the Jivatma, not the...
Yeah, you have to know the real need. Just like suppose you come to me and you say, you come to me in your car, and you roll down the window and you say, I'm starving. And I said, no problem, I'll pour some gas in your car. Does that solve my problem? Real problem is I'm hungry. Simply putting petrol in the car doesn't... So the body is like a vehicle, yantra. Simply taking care of the body doesn't meet the needs of the actual soul within the body. We were talking about this morning, that the Americans, they have so much money, they have cars, they have everything. But they're not happy. Because they're missing the real point of life.
Yeah, Venka, open. Okay, 1 minute.
They're missing the real point of life. Hare Krishna. Jaya. Ah, welcome. We still have a little bit of time left, not a lot, huh?
They'll come tomorrow.
So. What is that?
I will offer the prasadam. Ah.
Hey, Hare Krishna. Jaya. How do you go? Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna.
Dentist.
Ah, Hare Krishna. So you're from south. Everyone's from south.
Bangalore.
Good. Where are you from?
He's from Rajasthan. He's from Bombay. I am also from Bombay.
Ah, we have some northerners.
But South Indian.
Ah. South Indian settled in Bombay. And South Indian settled in Rajasthan. You're a genuine Rajasthani. An actual Rajasthani. Where are you from in Rajasthan?
Dungarpur.
Dungarpur. Where is that?
Udaipur.
Near Udaipur. Okay.
My daughter,
Mahima. Mahima. Glorious. Hare Krishna.
She spent 2 days at the Hare Krishna Hill at Bangalore.
Oh. You had a good time?
She was inspired.
Oh, very good. Hare Krishna. Very good girl. Hare Krishna. We were just talking about this point of the difference between philanthropic work and spiritual work. Because the philanthropic work we do is directed basically to the body or to the mind. And undoubtedly that's some contribution. We help someone in some physical problem, some mental problem. But it doesn't solve the real problem of the living being. The real problem is spiritual. Because I've forgotten my spiritual identity. I've come to this material world, and that's the cause of all the suffering. If I weren't in the material world, I wouldn't have a physical problem. If I weren't in the material world, I wouldn't have a psychological problem. I wouldn't have a social problem. I wouldn't have this or that problem. But because I've come to this material world, I have all these problems. And even if today you solve one problem, tomorrow the next problem comes. Huh? It's not that if you solve my food problem, I'll never have a problem again. Or you solve my education problem, now I'll never have another problem. I'll have so many problems, and then I'll have to die and take birth again and begin a new set of problems. So we haven't really solved anyone's problem by addressing only the physical needs of society. The Americans have all material things, but they're full of problems. Even half of them can't stay married to the same wife, which is the simple thing. But they can't do it because they're some problem. Despite having so much money, education, they all go to college. They all make money, they all go to college, and they all divorce their wives. What is this? So they... real needs of human society are not met just by giving money or giving education or giving food or giving clothing. The real thing is to give freedom from material existence. Suppose I'm in prison and you help me get from the third class prison cell to the first class prison cell. Have you solved my problem? Maybe I'm appreciative, oh thank you so much, that third class cell was so bad. But still I'm in prison. Now if you get me out of prison, that's the real thing. But just the philanthropic work, in the absence of anything else, alright, philanthropic work is alright. But philanthropic work is not as valuable as Krishna consciousness. To bring someone to Krishna consciousness is the real favor, real philanthropy, real kindness. Therefore we have to try to do that, to spread it, to give others the opportunity. And that means, of course, we have to become thoroughly conversant ourselves. That will be good for us and good for others. That's the point of the process.
Many of our congregation will have some type of difficulty in the sense that like, you have to take care of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
In the body, it sounds very good, but when it comes to the practical application, we are in a society, and so we cannot just use a society.
No one is saying that.
So what is the practical solution that is part of the...
We are practical, Shri Hare Krishna. That's practical. You don't say give up your job, but chant Hare Krishna. Is that impractical? Can you do that? Is it very hard? We ask you, please chant Hare Krishna. There's only 3 words in the mantra, Hare Krishna and Ram. Only 16 words total. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Anyone can do that. That will give the balance. My life is just material, 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 material. Spiritual balance is required. We were talking about that this morning. Someone was saying you need spiritual, but the idea of spiritual balance is you just laugh for half an hour. Or you, what is the other thing that you do? You meditate, but on anything. That's not spiritual. You have to take what's spiritual from the shastra. This chanting, this Maha Mantra, is the recommended thing in front of you. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. The Lord not saving and saving and saving. This is practical. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna, our life begins to change. Because we're cleaning the heart. The heart is dirty. No matter what you do, nothing is going to be right. It may appear right, but it will not be right. And when the heart is clean, purified, anything will be right.
The mind, not the heart.
Heart, mind, chitta. Chitta means sometimes they say mind, sometimes heart. And chitta. Chaita dharma marga. Mirror of consciousness, that's what it is. So chanting is practical. To follow some rules and regulations is practical. People are suffering by not following these rules. The rules are no gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex. These rules are practical. And if someone follows them, his life will be the better for it. Not impractical. So these are our 2 first things. Chant Hare Krishna and follow these regular principles. It's practical. And for spiritual knowledge, read something, Bhagavad Gita. Even if you spend 10 minutes a day, who doesn't have 10 minutes in his life, in a day? Even the busiest person, somewhere, be serious, will find 10 minutes. 10 minutes or however much time. Read something, Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, follow these regular principles. Whatever food you eat, offer to Krishna first. This is all practical. Completely practical. It's not just fuzzy that, you know, you just need a spiritual, but, you know, there's no substance there, no definition. Just be a spiritual person. That's nothing. This is all step by step practical. And it's all from Shastra, it's all authorized. This is our program. And if people do it, they'll see how their whole life changes. And practical. Demonstration all over the world, even people from, you know, non-Aryan backgrounds, they're Russians or Americans, or their life is changing. Don't know what to speak of the Indians. Prabhupada said the Indians, the Westerners, Krishna's here and the Westerners are way over here, and the Indians are right over here. Very close. Only trouble is that the Americans are looking this way and the Indians are looking the other way. They're looking toward America. Well, that's the problem. But if you look toward Krishna, then you don't have to go very far.
The discussion we put up was that meat eating was not supposed to be
human being. Then why are enzymes secreted in our body?
And why don't you eat your children?
Digestion of...
So why don't you eat your children? The enzymes are all there, suitable for that. Why don't you eat your children? For that matter, the digestive system, like you, the hog is eating stool, we can also do that. The digestive system is suitable, we'll get some nutrients from it. Why don't you do that? Just to say that my digestive system can handle it, so I'll do it, that's foolish. That's not the thing. We're not going by, well, let me see what the digestive system will handle. It will handle all rubbish. It will handle, you know, 5-day-old food also. You know, cold, stale, miserable. Still it will digest. But we have to go by Shastra. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, this eat, that tummy. So what should we do? Can we speculate, well, it looks to me this is digestible, let me do it? Let's go by Shastra.
As we said, the man from the elephant time, he was to meet it. And his body is suitable for that. Otherwise, for example, there are some songs, you know, they eat wood. What do you want to eat?
Termite.
So, they get energy by eating wood. But if we eat wood, we don't get energy. But if we eat meat, we get energy. That means the body is fit for eating it. That's why in the very beginning, man used to eat meat. Now, after reading the scripture, we understand we have intelligence. Now we have to use your intelligence whether to eat or not. So, if you use your intelligence and found out that meat eating is not good, then stop. If you feel that meat eating is good, then try to find out why the scriptures are saying otherwise. So then think on that, and if you still feel that meat eating is the best thing, proceed. But human body is fit for eating meat. That is no doubt.
Actually,
man started with good meat on it.
Although now they're also saying that yes, you can eat it. Yes, you'll get nutrition, you'll also get cancer.
Actually, human body is not fit to eat meat because these animals have got a short intestine. So it will come out, whatever is the food, will come out in a few hours. But humans will come, whatever the food we eat, the roughages will come maybe one day later. So,
no, man was eating meat
and
eating meat.
No, I
just but even what you're saying is true.
But
human body is not so suitable for it. Tiger is much better.
Tigers and all those,
but
they
eat.
They are the minor difference.
But even taking it that the human body, we can eat meat. The equipment is suitable. We can eat meat. But this is barbaric. We can, you know, we can live like barbarians.
Probably that's the qualities you'll develop later.
One can live like a barbarian, we're fit for it. But that's not civilized life.
But when you are trying to follow the Shastra, you have to be sattvic.
It is fit. No, I'm not telling it is unfit. It is fit, but it is not suitable. GIT is not suitable because it is very long. See, if you keep the rice and vegetable food outside for one day, what will happen? Nothing will happen. If you keep the same thing, meat, outside for one day, what will happen? You cannot eat. Keep the food for one day, vegetable you can eat. This vegetable meat, if once you keep it after a few hours, you cannot eat. Whatever you cook, re-cook, you cannot eat. It will come to
that.
It has to be...
That is
your freezing.
Yeah,
our final conclusion is, you can give different reasons, aesthetic reasons.
I don't spoil after the flavor, it starts.
You know, you can, people become vegetarian for different reasons. Someone aesthetics, you know, ooh, it's nasty. Someone for health. Someone on account of violence. Someone for economic reasons. ecological reasons. All very good reasons. But our reason is, we're following Shastra. We're following Shastra. And if you follow Shastra, automatically you're ahead. You're doing the thing which is ecologically appropriate for your health, aesthetically nice, non-violent and harmless to other creatures. Everything is there simply because you follow Shastra. You don't have to analyze and say, well, what's physiologically better? What's ecologically better? And do a 10-year study and a follow-up study, you know. You just take Shastra and you make a shortcut of the whole thing. And that's our process. Shastra for that. Whatever Shastra says, you take it and you arrive at the conclusion.
Yeah, that's it. The
Shastra is also prescribed
immediately
in
the
sense
that...
Yeah, you do the...
That's how you prescribe
another way. How do you think about it? The difficulty is we are not aware of our Shastra. From childhood. That's what is...
Therefore we're publishing these books. Books are there. Website is also there. Here's some cards this morning. All of the books are available on the website. You can read them, you can download them.
So his children were born in America. In America you don't see any animals to freely move on the street like in
India.
You don't find the even dog also, nothing, no animal is free there. Every animal is captured. So...
You want more? I think you do more also.
My friend was telling that they still think that the meat is also coming from trees. But they never see any animal, they only see the trees. The fruits are coming from the trees. They still think that the meat is also coming from the trees.
I brought copies.
Huh?
I brought copies.
You have copies there, huh?
Maharaj has an office in Bombay and another office in California.
Florida.
Florida.
But I don't stay in either one.
Maharaj will be going continuously. I met Maharaj in Italy from the airport. I was coming to Kuwait, and then when I got down at the airport, I saw two devotees coming out of the car. So I went and met them. Then they said that there Maharaj is coming from London. So actually, my flight was at 5:30. And by 12 o'clock I finished everything. So I just felt that why to stay here, I reported this case. Otherwise I planned to reach the airport by 3 o'clock, 3:30 like that. So then I stayed on the program and passed there and went. So I went there and then the devotees were there and they said that Maharaj is coming. I said, I have a lot of time, I can stay with you till Maharaj and you do this like that. So then Maharaj stayed. Then he said to Maharaj to come to Kuwait. Then Maharaj finally found out the schedule. So that was Krishna's arrangement. Now, for my coming to the airport earlier, then the schedule. Maharaj gave, visited my house in Bombay a couple of times.
Nice to see a continuous blessing coming from
all the
Maharaj.
Yeah, actually, Kuwait, now it's, you know, it's on the map.
Slowly.
It's getting on the map. So I think it will increase.
Change of ambassador.
Thank you.
Janila and one Mr. Ganapati from Australia. He's coming from Australia.
According to your own situation. Most important thing is chanting Hare Krishna. Usually in the morning we, of course there's ordinary morning duties, getting up early in the morning, and taking baths and so on. The most important thing is chanting Hare Krishna. There's so many rituals that we can, they're in our books.
When you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, what exactly you have to have in your mind?
You just have to focus your mind on the sound.
Sound.
That's all. You don't have to think about anything particular. You don't have to, you know, simply hear. Just concentrate on the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, because there's no difference between Krishna the name and Krishna the person. So you're automatically doing the best meditation simply by focusing on the sound. And in the mature stage, that realization will come. The sound and the person are the same. That makes it very easy meditation. You don't have to think about something. Silent meditation, they're trying to think of something. You have a great difficulty. This meditation is easy. You just focus the sound, the mind on the sound. Just concentrate on the sound. Hare Krishna.
Closed,
no. Be open, close. No hard and fast rules. But just try to hear yourself chant and see.
Why is it repeated 108 times? Why is it
16
rounds?
Just like, because we're not capable of doing 64. So it's reduced to 16. Otherwise we should chant always. But just to make it, you know, congenial for us, at least do 16. Otherwise you can do 18, 20, there's no restriction. But 16 is fixed as a minimum. Why 16? Why not 15?
Why 64? Initially 64.
Just like, why do they make it 120 as the speed limit? Why not 125? Why not 118? The authorities fix some numbers according to the need. So if we say, well, wait a second, what kind of law is this? Why not 115? Or why not 125? Why 120?
You said you used the word realization. What exactly is the
realization means that your theoretical knowledge becomes practical. It's like a surgeon. Anyone can read a surgery book and he'll have knowledge how to do surgery. But that doesn't mean that he can actually do it. When he assimilates the knowledge, then he can apply it, and that's realization. In the beginning we have theoretical knowledge about that, but it becomes realized knowledge. That's all I'm talking about.
Serious meditation and after constant meditation, begin to see certain changes in the mind and this.
Certain changes means what?
That's what I would like to know. This is a state of light or state of thought or the heart.
But that's not meditation. According to Bhagavad Gita, the purpose is not to see some light or to feel, you know, a little relaxed. This is not. Purpose is to fix the mind on Krishna. This is real meditation. Meditation means you have to meditate on something. What is that something? Something is the absolute truth. What is the absolute truth, Krishna? Just to see light, and if I rub my eyes, I'll see some light. Therefore, they don't make much progress. They meditate, they feel some change. You know, maybe they feel a little more peaceful, a little less. But that's not the real purpose of meditation.